Hey there, welcome back to 7-Minute Books. I'm Sam, and today we're talking about Francis Wade's Myanmar's Enemy Within, Buddhist Violence, and the Making of a Muslim Other. Sophie, I have to ask, how does a country known for peaceful Buddhist traditions end up with ethnic cleansing of the Rohingya?
Hey there, Sam. That's exactly the question Wade tackles. It's a deeply reported look at the Rohingya crisis, but it's not just about what happened. It's about why ordinary Buddhists were persuaded to turn against their neighbors. And the answer isn't ancient hatreds.
Right. He really pushes back on that idea, which surprised me, because I think a lot of us assume this is just centuries-old religious conflict. But Wade shows it's much more recent and calculated.
Exactly. The core argument is that political actors weaponized Buddhism. They manipulated fear of the Muslim other to consolidate power during Myanmar's democratic transition. And the image of the saffron-robed monk, once a symbol of peaceful protest, became an agent of hate.
Yeah, I mean, you think of the Saffron Revolution in 2007, monks protesting the military. And then just a few years later, you have monks like Ashin Warathu filling stadiums with sermons about the Muslim threat. How does that shift happen?
Wade traces it back to the legacy of military rule. For decades, the junta built a national identity around Buddhism and the Bamar majority, while systematically marginalizing minorities. Then when the country opened up in 2011, there was this vacuum of authority and a crisis of identity.
And into that vacuum steps Buddhist nationalism. The military, which had always portrayed itself as the guardian of Buddhism, saw the Muslim threat as a way to justify their continued power and budget. It's so cynical.
But the really troubling part is Aung San Suu Kyi's role. She went from democracy icon to defending the military's actions. Wade argues it wasn't just a personal betrayal, it was structural. She calculated that speaking out would cost her political support among the nationalist base.
Yeah, that part is heartbreaking. She spent 15 years under house arrest, and then she chooses to stay silent while Rohingya villages are burned. Wade's reporting on her moral failure is brutal but necessary.
And then there's the role of social media. As Myanmar opened up, Facebook spread like wildfire. And with it came hate speech, disinformation, rumors of Muslim men raping Buddhist women would go viral and trigger real violence. The algorithms amplified the worst stuff.
There's a story Wade tells about a single piece of fake news, a false claim of a rape, that spread across the country in hours. It led to mob attacks, and Facebook did almost nothing until it was way too late.
Wade also goes into the historical roots. During British colonial rule, Indian Muslims were brought in as administrators, which created economic resentment. Then in World War II, the British armed Rohingya to fight the Japanese, while Bamar nationalists allied with Japan. That legacy of communal violence kept erupting.
So you have this long backstory of division, but Wade is really clear that the violence wasn't inevitable. It was a series of deliberate choices by political elites. They exploited fear for power.
And the international community didn't help. Western governments were slow to act, partly because they wanted to keep good relations with Suu Kyi's government and counter Chinese influence. The UN was paralyzed by vetoes, so the green light was essentially given.
One thing that really got me was how Wade shows ordinary people being drawn into this. He interviews monks who genuinely believe they're protecting Buddhism. He talks to Buddhists who express sympathy for Rohingya's suffering, but then say the violence was necessary. It's this normalization of atrocity.
Right.
He calls it the seductive power of fear. And he shows how language of defense and protection was used to justify offensive violence. The victims were dehumanized through a process of othering.
And that othering had been cultivated for generations. The military government systematically expelled Muslims, drove hundreds of thousands into Bangladesh, and used anti-Muslim propaganda to unite the Bamar population behind their rule.
Wade also looks at transnational Buddhist networks. Nationalist groups in Myanmar connected with similar movements in Sri Lanka and Thailand, sharing strategies and propaganda. Wealthy overseas donors from the US and Europe helped fund it, giving it respectability.
So what's the takeaway? For me, it's that democracy without protection for minorities is hollow. Myanmar's transition was built on the exclusion of the Rohingya, and that flaw poisoned everything.
Absolutely. And if you want to go deeper, the whole library is on the 7-Minute Books app at 7minutebooks.com/app. Over 6,000 fiction and nonfiction titles you can read or listen to in any language. It starts at $2.99 a month, $9.99 a year, or $19.99 once for lifetime access.
Wade's book is a warning that the enemies we create in our own minds can become the most dangerous of all. The true test of any society is how it treats its most vulnerable.
And that's the lesson of Myanmar's Enemy Within. We'll see you in the next one.